Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to one of the top real estate podcasts in the country, as voted by you. It's the Mail Right Podcast, talking all things real estate marketing. We recently, thank you to everybody listening to the show, we were voted by you number 86 out of all real estate podcasts. This is on millionpodcasts.com. We're on the same list with Tom Ferry and Mike Ferry and many other luminaries in the real estate space. I am tickled pink. I won't speak for John, but it's an amazing attaboy for years of hard work and conversations that we've had. We got a 4.4 out of 5 stars out of 18 people that wrote us reviews. If you're listening to the show right now, you're on a platform that takes reviews, do us a favor, give us a 5-star review and help us bump that up even higher. I would appreciate it. Without any further ado, though, I'm going to introduce my co-host, whose name is Jonathan Dinwood. Jonathan is a legend in the WordPress space, and he's quickly becoming a notable luminary of the real estate marketing space. He has designed and built an all-in-one system for realtors with a smaller budget or a larger budget. Works both ways, but most likely he's got offers that will appeal to almost anybody with any budget, starting at $50 a month. We're going to have a conversation about some new design directions that he's taking. So most likely, if you're listening to the show now and reach out to him soon, he might even have some new stuff to show you. So without any further ado, John, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to the audience?
Oh, thanks, Rob. Yeah, I'm the joint founder of mail-right.com. We are a CRM with a focus on getting real leads for real estate agents. We're an all-in-one platform and at an affordable price that starts month to month at slightly under $50, $49. So very affordable. Back over to you, Rob.
All right, today's show, we're going to break out to probably what is the core of why most of you listen to this show. We're really going to say succinctly how to master real estate online lead generation in 2025. Now, for those of you who've been longtime followers of the show, I am sure that we're going to cover some ground that we've already covered. But I think it's good to say right now, right out of the gate, that marketing is changing incredibly fast right in front of our eyes. But it's not so much that you're doing different things. It's that you're using different tools to accomplish the same things in much easier, faster ways, making this a revolution, an evolution, acceleration that you want to be a part of. I can't emphasize that enough. So even if you've heard us talk about the subject before, buckle up, put us on go while you're on your drive. Really listen to this show today. I'm super excited to dive into this. Last little piece of business here is that John is consistently the guy that does all, he calls it the donkey work. It's really, he produces the show and he publishes the show. I am somewhat more the guy, the talent. He's the talent too, but I show up and I talk about the subjects that he decides for us. So do us both a favor, check out his YouTube channel and give him a thumbs up and a like. And make sure that if you have any comments about the outlines that he's publishing, that you communicate to them to him. I'm sure he'd appreciate it. John, why don't you start us off with the first subject on the list that you so kindly prepared for us?
Yeah, sure, Rob. I just thought we'd do a recap on really things that we covered a few times during the show, but I think doing an overall recap and really give kind of some structure to what I think, and I think you agree, what a real estate agent should be doing in 2025 if they're looking to be successful. So I think we start with Google Local, whatever they're calling it at the present moment, and it's linked to the power of online reviews and what Google is offering for free to the real estate agent is impressive. But what's also amazing is still the amount of agents that don't take up their free offerings and really concentrate on getting online reviews as well. So it's all kind of mixed up. There's two elements to this, but I was tempted to separate them, but I think they're so intertwined with what Google is looking for that I decided to keep it in one point, Robert.
Copy you. So my take on local, which I'm all over my channel, my website, is hyperlocal. Google Business Profiles are one of the most relevant and exciting forms of SEO, search engine optimization, that real estate agents could theoretically focus on, pay for. There is a performance-based ad system that's connected specifically to local service ads or your hyperlocal profile, and it's performance pay. In other words, you do not pay anything unless you get a call, which makes it 10 times more appealing than anything else I know of in the entire industry. Now, it's not their traditional advertising system, which is the only thing I don't like about it, is it's hard to sign up for, and it takes a lot of time to understand that it's not connected to the rest of the Google advertising ecosphere. I really wished they'd figured out a way to combine it, but they didn't. And so, but part of that is that for those of you that have maintained diligently a great real estate license in good working order for a long period of time, you'll appreciate this. They actually do check the license as part of the vetting process, and not just anybody can sign up. You do have to have some form of track record and a good license and transactions and other things that they vet during the sign-up process. Now, having said all that, if you can rank organically and apply these service ads, it is a 1-2 combo that I've rarely seen return anything less than 8 to 10 times ROI across the board, sometimes far more than that. It just depends on where you are and how successful, like how many people are searching for a local realtor. What I love about this form of advertising, John, is that when you do get calls, they tend to be what we call in my part of the business, they're high intent leads. They're already looking for a realtor, oftentimes to list a home. The number one request I've been getting for as long as I've been in this business is get me listings. Well, this is a way to get listings. And so it makes it really compelling. And the advertising expense, if you decide to hire a professional company like me, is not that expensive. It's half as much as traditional SEO. So that makes it compelling as well. Less expensive, faster return on investment, a local services ad component, full trackability off the profile. John is correct. It is not a performance silence kind of marketing. You do need to participate in the process, get reviews, make a post every month, focus a little bit on how your profile looks and feels. But you could do worse than partnering with one of the biggest marketing companies on the planet.
I've got a question.
Yeah.
How would you compare it to in the era of lead quality to what Zillow Premier is providing? Is it the same, based on your experience, is it the same quality of lead, or is one of them slightly higher quality of lead?
Well, Zillow's broken. So first of all, it's shitty, John, that Zillow has broken their advertising offerings into like 5 different offerings now. So Zillow Premier, the service that you just listed, yes, I'd compare Google profile leads all day long and twice on Tuesday. Zillow Flex, which is where they take a piece of your deal. No, I think that Zillow is so in tune with partnering with you as an agent. They want their money so bad that you actually get every call is essentially some form of qualified. Whereas these inbound calls can be people selling to you. They could be other things. Out of every 10 calls, we get about 5 good ones. And right now, of those 5 good ones, my average close ratio for my customers is like 3 out of 10. So it is a reasonably high close ratio, a reasonably high quality ratio. And frankly, the one thing that you can't argue with is it's all inbound. In other words, it's even more passive than Zillow Premier, because Zillow sends you a lead, and oftentimes it's not a call transferred to you. It's a lead. It's like a written lead, which is the old school way of doing it. This is a phone call where the person actually rings you. I personally, as a salesperson, John, I want the voice on the other end of the line every single day. Do not give me an email if I have my choice. Call me, because I can do something with that almost every time. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah. On to the next one. Video marketing. What do you think about that one?
Oh, my God. So we just, 8 hours ago, I emailed out our beta test for AI. You probably have it in your inbox. You probably haven't opened it yet yourself.
I did, actually. I had a quick look at it just before the show.
Okay. So I've already got two brand new inquiries less than 8 hours later on that service. The speed in which things are changing is staggering. We cobbled together something that I thought was usable. I'm already getting told that was 60 days ago we started the beta test process, right? And 60 days later, I've had a few people reach out to me and say, oh, we could do much better than that just in 60 days. Maybe not using the toolkit that I used, but nonetheless, we got it to a place where we thought it was functional. Not great, but functional. And then I think that very quickly, John, very quickly, we're going to see complete functional. And just for those people listening to the show that don't know what we're talking about, what we did was we used video editing and we used AI in a real live video editor, but we made a talking representation of an agent that never got on camera, ever. We just used a 30-second video file as source material, which he recorded only for the AI algorithm. And then the rest of it, we wrote scripts and basically have him talking for 6 minutes. And he looks a little AI, but he and other people that saw it said it was passable, which means that essentially for the countless realtors I do business with, I now have an option for all of you that says we can do an AI product for you that only requires a source material for 30 seconds or less. We can't make video marketing any easier than that. That's it. And I can write the marketing for you. I can do the research. I basically can produce it like a blog post. And now we can do video on an agent's site with what's called in the marketing world, faceless marketing, which I'm saying for the audience. John knows this already. So we're doing something called faceless marketing, a faceless marketing option. And it is so relevant for everybody, because one of the ways that we could use this, John, that we didn't use it for the test cases, but I'm most excited for, is market updates, like email updates.
Yeah.
Bomb, stuff like that. Raw data that we wrote, but is fed to the audience via video and via the client's mouth, because that was his voice, which is what really shocked me. They nailed that voice, John. That's 100% Kane Powell's voice, even though all I had was a small...
Yeah. What I propose is that we actually have an episode next week where we discuss what you're doing there. But I think it's quite exciting, and I agree with everything you've just said. It's totally passable. Obviously, if you can do it yourself, that is the best. But what Robert has achieved with his team is totally, and I actually think it's stronger than that, because I gave up doing this, but for a while, Robert, I kind of thought I was forcing people to try and do video, and we were just doing it as an experiment because it was at a price point where we weren't making any money at it. But I literally was having a Zoom with somebody, and I asked the questions, and then we had to edit it, and we were just doing it as an experiment. But it didn't matter how much hand holding I did or how much editing we did, if they weren't comfortable in front of the camera, we could do it 5-6 times and think that they would gradually get comfortable. They didn't actually, Rob. Some people do, you know, obviously, if they like the idea and they're committed to it, I was useless when I started doing videos in front of the camera. I think I'm a lot better now. It's one of the main sources of lead generation, and my other channel is growing quite rapidly. Mm-hmm. But if you really, really aren't comfortable and you really don't want it, there wasn't really. I gave up because I could see that the bulk of people were not comfortable. So this is a great solution for those type of people, because trying to force them, if they're really, really not comfortable and using video as a marketing medium, I don't think how much hand-holding that you can get them up to the standard where it's worth doing.
Agreed, which is why... So here's a funny story for everybody. John, I am not a force my team to do shit leader. I never have been. I forced my team on this. I pressed hard. Everybody was thinking I was out to lunch. They kept telling me that it was too soon. And I was like, I don't care. I want to see a representation of what's possible. Now, once my lead operations guy got deep enough down the rabbit hole and he researched about 10 or 15 different AI services, he's like, I don't know. This one seems good. Like, he gave me a teeny tiny little sample and I said, it seems passable. And then we had to go through the back and forth of the client. And he's like, this is so difficult because it was the client. You're always with you and I, it's the client. And we were asking quite literally the bare minimum of the client. Yeah. Like, and we were still having a hard time.
Well, you still get resistance, don't you?
Yes. Even though we signed him up for beta, even though I spent of my own money $500 or $600 on this beta, the client didn't pay for this. I paid for it. So and this is all at cost. So imagine how many hours we're talking about. It's at low cost because it's Philippines resources and stuff like that. But nonetheless, I insisted and drove towards it. And what I got back was light years ahead of what I thought we could do. And turned the conversation in my head instantaneously. I'm like, this, for about 20% of veteran real estate agents, this is a service they will care about. And I've already gotten proof, John, in less than 8 hours that that's true, in the form of two responses from two different new-to-me people that were on my list, but I've never talked to them. And they're already talking to me about this. And what does that mean to you people listening to the show, all those people that we love so much? Ladies and gentlemen, do not sleep on video marketing anymore. It's going to accelerate beyond your ability to catch it. Yeah. My advice is really, truly get off the bench. You don't even need to get in front of the camera. Not really, not anymore. You have an option, but you can't just sit back and think that you'll just wait. Because the people that are going to figure this out are probably going to like jump out ahead of everybody else.
Yeah, shall we go for a break, Rob?
Yeah, let's do it. There is no timer on my version of this, just so you know, John. It says scheduled, so I can't see the time. Anyway, we're going to go to break, ladies and gentlemen. John and I are going to tell some dirty jokes, have a little bit of fun, discuss how awesome we are. No, just kidding. But we're going to be right back. Thank you so much for tuning in. Stay tuned.
Do you want quality leads from homeowners and buyers right in your own neighborhood? Then you need MailRight. It is a powerful but easy to use online marketing system that uses Facebook to generate real estate leads at a fraction of the cost you'd pay from our competition. We stand behind our work with a no question asked 30-day money back guarantee. So don't delay. Get started today. Go to mail-right.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking in very broad strokes about what's going to work for lead generation in 2025. We covered Google Local. That was number one. We covered video marketing. That was number two. And very broadly, there's so much more to say on video marketing. Number three, speed, patience, and persistence in lead management, a favorite topic of John's as long as I've known him. Database management, lead management, persistence. So, John, this is absolutely something you've been talking about since the very first podcast that we ever did. So why don't you lead us off on this subject? Yeah.
Well, it's speed to lead. Demo, what lead generative system you use in Facebook paid leads, paid advertisement, Google local ads, Zillow, it doesn't matter, but when you get that lead, when you get that phone call, you've got to respond to it. And the quicker you respond to it, the more chance it's going to generate into an actual commission check. So if you are getting lead, me and Rob, whoever you hire in the digital lead area, if their systems are getting leads, phone calls to you, and you're not available, or you don't, or they're texting you and you can't text back in less than a couple minutes or 5 minutes, nothing's going to happen. Nothing can save that lead. You know, there's no point in complaining to Rob or complaining to me. We've done our bit. We've done what we were supposed to do. And too many agents that seem to struggle, or just struggle in general in understanding what they're getting into. That's what I'd say. Patience. Not all people are ready to sell or buy a house. They might be on a different, but they can still be marketed to if they get into your system. And there will be a time that they will be ready. So I do understand, you know, somebody's paying money and it's going out of their bank account every month. They want leads straight away, but you've got to be realistic. You know, as long as it seems to be getting lead generation and the system seems to be working, I think whatever system you've got to give it at least 3 months and better 6 months, but at least 3 months. And persistence. Too many agents give up. It's a difficult one because you might be a dead horse, really. But most, as long as there's signs that it is working, most people give up too early and they're not persistent. That's what I would say, Rob.
As a lifetime salesperson, there's no doubt that speed, lead, persistence, and patience, like professional salespeople, there's a reason why we're called professionals. There's a reason why Tom Ferry and Mike Ferry still have a job, because mostly they focus on sales. And part of the sales game is building relationships, oftentimes for years. And in the luxury space, which Tom Ferry has a circle of 10 agents, all of them hyper luxury agents. I know two of the 10, and they sit and get trained by him personally. And those people, most of what they're getting quote unquote coached on is the same thing as when you huddle up and you're in the Super Bowl. It's not like you're going to do something different, run a different play. It's more like, are you ready to run the best version of the play that you've practiced 1,000 times? And are you ready to pivot and adapt for the unexpected things that will happen in any live fire situation? And a professional salesperson is exactly the same way. Number one, know your material. Number two, practice, practice, practice. I love calling people even when I know that they're not going to be a deal that day, John, because it gives me a chance to exercise my relationship building skills. That's where persistence comes in. If you are a person that is lucky enough to be selling at the top of your market in terms of inventory, it makes all the sense in the world to build a list of 100 people and make sure that you are their first call, those 100 people, because you're diligent, you send flowers on their birthday, you know the names of their pets. This is all stuff that a guy by the name of Harvey McKay taught me 30 years ago, how to swim with the sharks without being eaten alive. I've used long-term database building sales strategies my entire career, and I've rarely been less than top 1%, top 5%, usually number one or two, no matter how big the sales force, because all you got to do is be willing to work hard, nurturing relationships. If you don't have anybody new to call and you're more of an inbound rep, fine, call old clients. Like, find a reason to have a dialogue. If you're sitting at a desk, ladies and gentlemen, and you're not on the phone with somebody that either has been a client, could be a client, or is vaguely connected to somebody that might get you to a client, then you're not doing your job as a salesperson. You need to be doing that. Sit, and John and I have talked about this before, sit in open houses, sit anywhere where you can meet somebody. Hell, for those of you who are fans of movies, sit in a bar. There's an old sales movie about a guy that makes all these sales in a bar because he, and it's really famous. It has a couple really famous lines in it. And one of those lines is, you can win the Mercedes or you can win the steak knives. That's
yeah, I encapsulate it in one phrase, actually, Robert. I say to people, real estate is a discussion business.
Yeah, absolutely. So number four, and I love this one, become the clear market local expert. John, I'm going to put my spin on this subject.
Yeah, because you've been very passionate about this. Is one of the things that you've consistently talked about, isn't it?
Yes, because if you have a question about your local real estate market, lifestyle, pricing, quality of the market, crime, you name it, you want to be the person that's been having those discussions in so many ways, in so many places, that people are inclined to ask the question to you. So you need to be non-threatening, and you need to be have a high level of expertise. And you need to define the market that you're working in, because there's no, like, in where I live in the Valley, in the San Fernando Valley in Los Angeles, California, the San Fernando Valley is hundreds of thousands of people deep, and there's no human being that could keep up to speed with even two of the cities. Not, never. Never. So specialize. Make sure that you have like subjects that you talk about over and over again. And the inbound marketing part is when you are giving out the information, the hard-won expertise that you've got, and find a way to have expertise. Go to city hall planning meetings. Make sure that you are up to snuff on zoning rules. Like, can you do an ADU on a property? Know every single rule of your own city, which is what you do in major metro areas, because having that unparalleled expertise is going to, one, give you something to talk about. Number two, is going to make sure that when you are have your 30 seconds to meet a new customer, you impress beyond all other people. All you need to do is display your expertise in what is what concerns locals. Like, I discovered a new thing. The owner of my property doesn't know if there's a limit on how big of a shed I can build out back. It literally sent me to the city, like, to get an answer for that. I would think there should be a real estate agent I could call who can answer that question for me, for crying out loud.
I think passion is overused a bit. Maybe I'm getting too old for passion, but I don't like using the word passion. But I think if you're going to be a successful real estate agent, I honestly think you've got to be really interested in property, in real estate. It'd be like you might have a hobby, golf. And for some reason, you've got to play a lot of golf, but you don't really like playing golf. I think you can get by, but I never, without that real, you know, interest or love or whatever term you want to use, I think you genuinely got to have a real, if you're going to be really good at real estate, and you might disagree, Rob, and other people, it's just my opinion. I really do think you've got to be interested in property, but I don't think that's a big ask, because if you're interested in business or you're interested in deals, and you know, I'm that type of individual, I'm interested in business in general. I think being involved in properties is a great, it's almost like having a job as a hobby, is having your hobby as a job. That's what I mean. Is it, you know, if you're the right type of person, it isn't really, it's hard, but it's never as hard as other people are finding it. Is this making sense, Rob?
It is, but I have a question for you, John.
Yeah.
And so secretly, I haven't asked you or called this out in years on the show, but it is a thing that you revealed to me a long time ago, and I've always found it to be fascinating about you, which is John, in his own right, is a real estate investor, for real. And I am not, to draw a clear delineation between the two of us. John owns and manages a property, at least one, maybe more now, but certainly back in the day, one. And so you have a very specific insight that I don't have, because I haven't actually owned property. I've stayed away from it for personal reasons, not investment reasons. It's one of the best investments that a person can make. So please don't anybody read into it. I'm a weird dude. But John, I have a question for you that plays into this whole idea that you have invested in real estate for reals. If you were going to have a niche yourself, if you're going to say, if I was a real estate agent licensed and all that stuff, and you had to focus on a niche in the same city that you're in right now, which is Reno, Nevada, what would that
be? It's actually Carson City, actually.
Carson City. My bad. What would that be?
I think it would be horse ranches. The type of clientele I would hope with the kind. It's not, there are some enormously wealthy people. It would be, I'm going to try and muscle into the Lake Tahoe market. Mm-hmm. Unless you knew the right people and you were prepared to be the second for a experienced agent in, or you were extremely attractive or very outgoing individual, you might be able to muscle into the Lake Tahoe luxury market. I think horse ranches is an area where the competition isn't quite so intense. Mm-hmm. And you could find out about that particular market. I think you could get some traction and it would be on a higher price point. And a lot of people move into Northern Nevada and they're into horses and horse ranches.
I believe it. Well, I never would have guessed, John, in a million years. I'm glad I asked the question.
And I've got a bag of carrots for the horses, Rob.
Oh, well, you got to have a love of animals if you're going to focus on that. I do. I mean, honestly, you've picked something that would halfway tempt me to be a real estate salesperson. Certainly if I decide to move out somewhere distant and rural. But I'm probably never going to stop working. I don't want to stop working. So
I can't. But I'd be quite truthful. I'm looking to give up. I'm never going to retire because I'll be bored to death. But I hope in about 5 years, if I'm still healthy, that I can reduce a bit. I should be able to do that. But I'm never going to give up because I think, I've known loads of people retire and they've got into some bad habits I've known loads of people, going to do this, that, and they were dead a year later.
Yeah. I know. I think that most people have been conditioned into a type of life and lifestyle that doesn't actually suit them, and that like a lack of passion or vision will kill you faster than anything else, which is why I don't ever intend to not work. At working for me, I already do something I enjoy as much as I've enjoyed anything else in my career. I actually enjoy this more than I enjoyed looking at naked ladies when I ran Girls Gone Wild. But why? I love that amused you so much.
It did, actually. It really did.
Yeah. So. The thing on our list was find a niche. And if it was me, I still lived in the same place and I'm still the same human. For me, it would be apartment buildings because Van Nuys has so many of them. And I like apartment buildings. What's more important than the apartment buildings was I happen to like my clientele. I like investors. I like small business owners. And I like people like me who are always driven to do something the way that they want to do it. Most apartment buildings, not all, are owned by in small groups by individual investors. Every once in a while, you come across a huge conglomerate, somebody who owns like 20, 30, 40 buildings and has hundreds upon hundreds of units. But most of the time you find apartment buildings getting passed down from family to family. Like, it's crazy when you know, and I want to talk to those people. I want to know what's going on. I want to talk about improving the building, the unit. I want to talk to people where this single transaction is worth $15 million, whatever it's going to be, way more than normal. And it's a long sales process because I am best, me personally as a human, I'm best when I can focus all my energy on building a handful of really meaningful relationships. So I'm going to focus on where those people are, 20 to 30 investments, investment groups, home offices, stuff like that. And I will focus my effort there and build the relationships with those people so that when they are ready to buy, sell, or whatever, liquidate, I'll be their guy. That would be my niche. All right. So, John, what do you, you didn't put any bullet points. I have my own thoughts about this, but keep your sales generation process personal. What did you mean by that?
Well, this is, and it's been accelerated with AI, and I love AI. It's made a big difference. Over the last year, it's made me a lot more efficient, and it's I really love it. But there's a downside, and it's the way that some people in the marketing space are selling it. And it's these trends were there anyway, Robert. And it's just put gasoline on the fire. You can have AI agent and it will automate the whole process and you will just get the check, the commission check in your bank, and it will literally deal with the whole process and this, that, and the other. And like I said earlier, I see real estate as a conversation business. And what marketing, digital marketing, or more one-to-one marketing, whatever you want to call it, it's really about trust, building trust and having conversations with somebody that's identified that they need your service in a timeline that can be turned into a commission check, and you've got the skills to give them what they're looking for. So, yeah, I love AI and lead generation, but you've got to keep it personal. This idea that it will just be totally automated, I've got problems with that, Robert.
I agree with the now that I understand the way you were taking this, I have said this many times, I agree with it. You can't outsource a conversation with somebody. If you would, the second you outsource the relationship to somebody else, it's the second that you've outsourced the entire business. All of us, everybody in real estate, is in a service business. So whoever's providing the service wins. That's it. If a machine is providing the service, it wins. And so you don't want to outsource that. You can outsource all the mechanics of starting a conversation. I believe in that. Sure. You can outsource a lot of your marketing. You can't outsource certain types of personal bits, though. And this is a conversation I have with people who are going to sign up for the video AI service. It's like you've got to be present and conscious enough to focus on the channels that have these videos. Somewhere at some point, there needs to be a live human being like participating in the conversation. Somebody that has buy-in to the brand, not just a service person. Having said that, I think that the definition of personal is going to change a lot. I really do. I think that personal is going to become like, we're going to see a massive rush towards impersonal, faceless, texting, writing. But I think that over time, maybe a couple of years from now, you're going to see a rebound and one-to-one conversations between two live human beings is going to become even more cherished than it already is today. I get so much gratitude sometimes, John. The level of gratitude that I'm getting from people that I talk to on the phone is growing and rapidly. And I'm not doing anything different. But the fact that they can get me on the phone and still have a consultation is like, holy cow. So speaking of which, if somebody wanted to get you on the phone, and everybody listening to the show, please, for the love of God, avail yourself of John and have a good conversation about WordPress websites, what he's done for real estate, see if it can help you, because it's at $50 a month. You can't beat it. Now, if you have a larger investment or you want to focus on more verticals for SEO, organic marketing, you can have a conversation with me. But if you're just starting out, or your budget is smaller, or you have some WordPress questions, every single thing I just listed, John is an expert at. So John, how would somebody reach out to you if they were so inclined?
Oh, that's great. Thanks, Rob. Just go over to mail-write.com and have a look at what we've got to offer. We're going to having some more upgrades in the near future that I will be able to talk about. We've already spent more money this year on upgrading things, and it's a great platform. And you can go onto the top navigation and you can book a chat with me, a free Zoom. And we can have a quick chat and we can see how we could help you. Back over to you, Rob.
And if anybody listening to the show is inclined to talk to the crazy maestro whose voice you've been hearing over the digital...
It's not, Zach, I'm sorry to interrupt, Robert. I've been very good, I think. I haven't interrupted you too much. But I actually, it's not him, folks. This has been that AI person that we've been using. He's not here, actually.
No, people are going to believe you. All right. You can go to inboundrem.com, look at our services or about page. I highly recommend that you check out our portfolio. We are getting ready. John and I completely coincidentally happen to be updating our designs in the same year, which is what you do when you own an agency and things are slower. So we are also upgrading a design. I am so hot on our product line currently. I think we're going to have one of the best websites, one of the best SEO products, with one of the fastest rates of return of any company you can call or look at. We're not as inexpensive as John, newsflash, but we have some other compelling offers for if you have a small to medium-sized marketing budget. So inboundrem.com, about, services page, portfolio. All right. Oh, one last thing for everybody. And then John, I'm going to have you take us offline. Please. I am so thrilled, so tickled pink that you guys made us one of the top 100 real estate podcasts, because it was all you. John and I didn't even know we were submitted. It wasn't even on my radar. It wasn't on John's radar. They tweeted it to me, John. They messaged me on Twitter and notified me that way that we had been, that we had won. Not even that we were nominated, that we won. Wow. Thank you, everybody. Like, share the show, please continue it on. I want to be, now that I know there's a list.
I want to be your friend. You're so American, aren't you, really? You Americans love these type of things, don't they? It's fascinating to watch, actually.
We're competitive, John.
Yeah,
I didn't even know that there was a list, but now that I know,
I'm competitive, but I'm competitive in a very English way. So a lot of Americans think I'm not competitive, but I am. I just do it in a very English way.
Okay. I don't even know what you mean by that, but you can tell me after you turn the show off. Thank you for tuning in, everybody. I've been Robert. My co-host has been John. We appreciate your patronage. Thank you for making us number 86 out of 100 podcasters. We really appreciate it.
And I enjoyed that. It was a good show.
All right, but we're not done, you and I. So let's talk about this list that you emailed over to me.
Yeah, what do you reckon?
Well, I only liked one of the designs, so it's an easy conversation to have. I looked at all of them. And here's, so I got this, the same point was sticking with me on every single one of these except for number one, which is, so WP Tonic, Combog, EDU, CDN, alpha.com. So I guess it's, no, they're all alpha. So I'm going to open these up just to refresh my memory here. But I remember that in all of these, you had a space for kind of like real estate stats. And I feel like that is a thing that has died off. That whole, let's put something on the homepage that is like fills space, but says something, whatever. I don't think it's relevant anymore. And all of the designs that you sent over, except for one, feature that heavily. And the one that didn't was Alcor. That was the name of the design, was Alcor. And Alcor is much more where I think that, like, all the Webby Awards, all the top 100 Tom Ferry, they're all similar to Alcor. Minimalistic, spatial, focusing on images. I loved Alcor. I really did. I thought it was a very sexy design and a very limited amount of space being taken up. And most of it was iconography, not... there's only one place that was our specialization. And then it was like comfortable homes, modern design, convenient location. But I did think that the filtered way of doing that, if you can make an IDX work in a way that was like that matched this, then I thought it was very fascinating.
They're not really, I wanted to discuss with you. I would rather, you know, we come to some deal that you make a little bit of money from it, but hopefully you do me. I would, if they want IDX integration, I would like your team to do it, really, if possible. I want to get out of, I had some people in India I was using, and they've been okay because my normal development team are pretty good, but they don't want to get involved with IDX. So I had to use somebody from India that had experience. And the experience wasn't terrible, but it was also similar to what you were saying about Indian people. But I haven't got a client at the present moment that wants IDX integration. There might be one coming up in a month's time. They're looking at IDX Broker, and that's what you use. So, these were for people that are using my 49, and it does come with a website, but we only had one design. We're going to, when I've got it integrated, I'll show it to you, and that they will have a little library with all these themes, and we're going to add two more to this. That should be done by the next week. So they have a little library of over, not a dozen, but more than six, be eight, maybe eight themes. And they'd be able to switch over from this with one button click. So I wanted a group of looks that were a bit different in colour. And yeah, but they're not really designed for, you know, they're not designed for IDX optimization and, you know, like real that side. It's for that lesser market. Is that making sense, Robert?
Yeah. All right. So you covered a lot of ground. So let me reverse. I'm comfortable doing IDX outsourcing, or at least entertaining the conversation, as long as it's IDX Broker. We're definitely very competent at that. All other IDXs usually require a learning curve to learn how to do. We could do it, but like I'd have to charge you at the point that you're paying me for a learning curve. I don't know that it makes sense. On IDX Broker, if I'm going to implement IDX Broker, which I'd be very willing to entertain if the following is met. IDX Broker allows you to assign a client either under their own code or your code, like it's a subcontracting kind of arrangement. You get $30 a month roughly to manage an IDX account on the ongoing basis with IDX Broker. I would certainly be willing to install IDX Broker if I got the recurring revenue on it.
Yeah, it sounds okay. We can have a talk about it. It doesn't sound outrageous.
Okay.
Because what we do is we provide a website, but if they want IDX, we say you've got to go to a higher hosting plan, and I normally manage it through WP Tonic, but if you want that fee, we can give them a package. Yeah, that's fine. Not at the present moment, but I might want you because I think we can run the Facebook campaigns. We've got a couple of people we're doing that for, but I don't really, we've got it advertised on one of the sub pages, but we don't actually want to get in it, is to run these Google local campaigns. So if we get somebody, we send them your way, and maybe if you're prepared, give us a small cut. But we don't actually want to run the Google local campaigns. It's just too much work. But you've got all these people in the Philippines, haven't you?
I've got somebody that's very good at it that we've trained up to be an expert. So, but she's working for me full time. Like all my guys work for me exclusively. So she so far has been able to manage our workload. We're charging $100 a month to manage the campaigns on an ongoing basis. Once they're set up, I'd have to create a special price to you, because honestly, that price is based on the fact that it's an add-on for us, where we've got $500 that we're charging already. So to say, go from five to six is, we're not, like Ylopo's charging their clients 200. Okay. So everybody's charging more. We decided not to charge more because we didn't want to make people feel like we were nickel and diming them. If I'm going to outsource, like if I'm going to take a referral client and give you a piece, then it's like I can.
Oh, well, maybe that the other way is best. You just give me a flat rate and I'll just put my markup on it and you just manage it. That's probably better then, isn't it?
$100. Give you the same rate I give everybody else. $100. Manage the campaign. Okay.
All right. That sounds good. What's your minimum? Is there a setup fee, and do you have a minimum contract?
So the way that I've been working it right now, John, is 12 months, like contracts are really loose. Like there's no penalty if they cancel. So yes, it's a contract. It's a written agreement that I send somebody, but I don't like charge somebody to cancel. I mostly do reputation protection. So if I'm signing up with somebody, I'm still going to do that. Like reputation protection is, we informed you of these things, you know, as you sign this agreement, because real estate agents are not great when it's said like, oh, you said this to me. No, I really didn't. Like, I really didn't. That's what pisses me off. So I have people sign agreements that are like that, John. Like I told you these things, you're signing something before we even...
It's not only real estate agents, Rob. It's everybody.
Well, it drives me crazy, John. That's what I make people sign. So yes, I have a 12-month agreement. It's month to month, really, 7 days cancellation notice for the agreements that I have.
What basically happened is I haven't totally fallen out with Adam, but he's had to take a corporate job. He actually's got quite a good gig, and he's still part of Mailrite, but he can't spend as much because he was doing his own marketing agency, specialized in video using drones, and he had quite a few real estate clients, but in the Bend area, Oregon.
I know.
And he's had to get a corporate job because he had one before it for a mortgage brokerage. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember, it's in something else actually. So he's having to cut down on his own work for his own agency, and he can't commit so much time for me either. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't too keen on the Google stuff anyway. He's okay with the Facebook and video editing. Mm-hmm. And I want a more automated, and that's what we've got now. So if I can, that should work. All right.
So here's my offer/counterproposal, whatever. I'm going to give you the world's best deal with PPC. If you ever have anybody talk to you about PPC, I don't even want to listen. I could theoretically outsource that, but I'm going to give you the same thing I do. I have an outsourced resource who is growing from one person to 23 in Turkey. His name is Kabri. Mm-hmm. I'll simply give you his name. He charges me, I think it comes out to be about $100 account per month, somewhere in that neighborhood. I don't want a piece of this. So whatever he charges me, I'm going to ask him to charge you the same thing. And you get to put your profit on top of it. All I'll tell you is he's extremely good. I will commit.
Oh, yeah, it's great, because I don't think Adam wants to do it. So if you can send those details, if you're not, don't have to do it this week if you're too busy, but if you just send an outline of some of the prices you quoted me, obviously the IDX broker, it's on. What we have to discuss is what kind of level of information that you require from me so you can give me a quote. So we've got to discuss that. The Google, the $100 sounds fine. And if you just send me the resources of this Turkish guy, because like I say, I haven't fallen out with Adam, and he's done a lot of free work and he's really helped me, and he still can help me on the Facebook side, but he won't have the bandwidth to help me on this other stuff. And I'm too busy with WP Tonic, thank God. I don't want to give up on MailRite, because I've invested quite a bit of money in that. Now, I have spent more money on it the past 4 months than we have done. And we're doing these websites, so you can see that I'm still investing money into it.
Hold on 1 second. I'm finishing out this.
When I've got it all set up, I'll show you the back end, because we're doing improvements. It'll be a nice system. The main problem of what we're building, Rob, is that, and I'm prepared to do it, is that we have to spend too much time showing them how it works, and it doesn't seem to register. So it's like we're getting a few people that want to spend the $50, but they want us to manage it for $50, and it ain't gonna happen, you know.
Sure.
But I get people that sign up for my hosting at WP Tonic, and they get a whiteboard onboarding call, and we spend more time giving them a more customized hosting experience. And if they pay yearly, it's $35 a month. Month to month, it's $55. And they get a load of plugins. But they still, a lot of them think that we're going to build a whole website out for them, you know, a whole learning management system. It's quite amazing, really, Rob.
Believe me, I understand the difference between Gucci wishes and Walmart budgets. Like,
yeah, that's it.
I've sent you that email. The next time you want to walk me through the system, I'm down for it. But John, I'm going to say the same thing that I've been saying to you for a long ass time. To get me involved, to get some kind of opinion, to get anything from me, really, you need my technology partner. I need to, if you don't want to show us code or give us access, great. But if you want to do a walkthrough by video, I got to have this guy there. I got to, in order to have an opinion, to have a, like anything like long-term conversations between you and I. We started to build an all-in-one platform that wasn't going to be owned. We've been working on it silently in the background. Nobody knows this for 2 years. Because he wanted me to start another brand with him. He's been doing it on his own dime. He wanted me to start another brand with him because he wants to have something that he can sell, which Iron was never designed that way. Like, I'm not building a technology company that's easy to sell at all. Like, I built it as a dream of my own. And he wanted something different. And I agree, because he is overqualified and over-talented for what I use him for. So I agreed that I would market the hell out of it and maybe even start a second company as long as he finished it. Now he's been working on it for years. And unfortunately, what he wants to do and what's realistic is crazy different, because he had these massive visions for this thing. Anyway, I would need to have him, like, just to see at least what you've built. See if he has a vision for it from technology, or if he even thinks he could pick up the like he could do something with it at some point, if ever that conversation happens between you and me.
I think I totally understand where you're coming from, and it's what you said before. I totally, let me think about it, but at the time being, if you can help, not help me because but I don't want to do the IDX integrations. My team doesn't want to do it.
Sure.
And like I say, I was using these Indian people. They were okay, but I had to keep, they're not up to the standard of my own normal team. I had to, when we looked at their code and some of their work, it was that we had to clean it up a little bit, and my team really didn't want to do it. So I just wanted to see if you would give me a quote, and I'll let you do it because you've got experience in it. But we have to work out what information I've got to gather from the client to give to you.
Here's how we do. Listen, I'm going to make this simple for both of us. John, it's going to be difficult for me to answer process-based questions from an outside source. I usually take over customer relationships entirely. What I'm going to tell you that would make sense probably for both of us is you find somebody who's interested and we schedule a core Zoom and we'll all record it. And I will come away from that with a better understanding, better process, the ability to quote you. All these IDX integration conversations, they happen at different quote rates. Like I have no, when I'm charging just a flat rate for my guy, like the guy that can do it all, it's $150 an hour. But obviously, you know as well as I do that like there's a whole bunch of grunt works, creating save links, stuff like that. We don't do that with him. And we charge, like the guys that do it for me, they charge me like, it's like comes out to be like $5 a link, maybe even less. Okay, something ridiculously underpriced. However, you occasionally have a realtor who calls into you and they literally, and with no visible change in their face, they go, well, I think I have like 1,000 pages on my website. And you're like, so 1,000 saved links, if I have to recreate them, even at, let's just call it $2.50 a link, because it takes 10 minutes to create a link. Now, all of a sudden, you're talking about, and just do the math, it's like $2,500.
No, I understand where you're coming from. It's so broad and that, yeah, I totally understand where you're coming from. But we get the fins and then, yeah, sure, I don't mind showing your guy, you know, if you want him to be part of it. I'm just looking for us to just do a little bit of business. I'm not giving up on Mel, right? It's just... I had to improve it or give up on it, and we have spent a bit more money and there's a little bit more work because I'm also using it. I've also taken a copy of it, the core of it, and I plan to offer it as part of my hosting package for WP Tonic as well. So I'm going to use elements with my hosting package with WP Tonic. Because I offer a library of plugins, and some of them I've got lifetime unlimited website licenses. Others, I'm getting close. It's not scalable. So by offering what Mailwright offers, I can duplicate what we're offering without having to buy more licenses for the plugins. So we've done that, and in the next few months, that will be more public.
Have you checked out GPL Vault?
I chose to go to, because I have relationships with all these people. To go, and they gave me some really good deals, and some of them lifetime deals. I do use it on individual properties that I own.
Okay.
But only very occasionally if I'm trying something out. Mm-hmm. Because it's not illegal, it's totally under the license, but I didn't want to upset the relationships that I've got in the WordPress community by doing that.
Yeah, I wouldn't just casually like tell you I'm a Coke smuggler and Do you want me to hook you up with my smuggle? I know it's not illegal. It can be, depending on what worlds you walk in, it can be unethical. To be honest with you, there's no way in the world for me to do what I do using what I use on websites and pay the licensing fees. None. Real estate agents don't want to pay a one-time fee of $80 for Yoast, let alone the yearly updates and all the other things that go along with it, because it is you use this tool and they don't want to do that. It's all out of the question. It's just absolutely out of the question. Either you're going to self-manage it. And the only way for me to self-manage at a reasonable price is GPL Vault.
Yeah. No, I totally understand, but I chose, and a lot of the plugins that we offer as part of our hosting packages, they're fully licensed, all of them. And there's about three or four that they didn't give me unlimited lifetime. They gave me a certain amount of websites. Most of them are between 100 and 200, but there's only about three on the list that I have that sort of deal. But we're getting close to going beyond that. And I want something that's truly scalable. So we're going to use what I built with MailRite as part of what we're offering as our hosting package aimed at membership and learning management systems. So even, and the MailRite's ticking over, it's doing right. It provides about one-fourth of my income. The bulk of my income comes from WP Tonic. Mm-hmm. But I'm not prepared to give up on it because it's been a learning exercise. Unfortunately, I'm a bit maybe too old for learning. But I think you've seen that I've educated myself, and hopefully you would say I'm a much stronger marketer than I was a few years ago.
I've definitely noticed a shift and a difference. And just to circle back around to something that perhaps I wasn't clear on, I understand full well that all you've asked me for is the possibility of a partnership, that you're not giving up on MailRite. And I in no way inferred by anything
you said
before. But I did have it in the back of my mind. The sooner I can have Pay a look at this technology, the more I know how to have a conversation with you in the future about it, how to frame it. It could be, just something I never
want to talk about. Let me think about it, and I would ask you to sign a non-compete. The thing is, you're building this other thing, so I would have to think, because I probably would ask you to sign a non-compete, and you probably say, you would, right? Yeah. So that should be okay then, but let me think.
I'm not trying to copy anything that you're building. What I'm trying to figure out is if at some point in the future there's a possibility of me licensing or acquiring it.
No, can I tell you a little story before you go? I get all my, I don't know if you do, I get all my subcontractors to sign non-compete that they can't, if they're working on a client's project, they can't work on that client's project outside of WP Tonic for 2 years.
Sure.
And I had a quite major client. I told you I had a rough week last week.
Yes.
And this client, she got an employee. She was part of the call in the background because they put it on speakerphone. She denies it because I had to have a very difficult come to Jesus discussion with her, mm-hmm. which she didn't like. She doesn't really like me, but I don't really care. I just want the money. They try to poach one of my main project managers, try to poach him.
Sure.
It's unbelievable. But he signed everybody. He signed a non. He's totally straight. He told me straight away what they said. They worded it. They worded it that they wanted to hire him. They've got a contract with me until October. And it's a lot of money. And they've told me they're not going to renew it. She says that she doesn't like me, but they're looking for cheaper alternatives. That's what it's about. It's always about money, isn't it? They said, oh, we won't hire you after October for another project. It was worded that, but that, yeah. So it's worded very carefully, but I know what's going on. But the thing is, he makes a lot of money out of me, and he's my co-host on my other podcast, the WP Tonic.
Oh,
and we're pretty friendly. Obviously, I can't say we're true friends because he's making money from me. So that kind of relationship, you can't say somebody's a total friend because, but we get on, and I think he's a pretty honest guy. And I've done him favors and he's done me favors, and he told me straight away. And the funny thing, he hates them more than I do. He hates her. He absolutely hates her, and he absolutely hates the member of staff that we're working with. Mm-hmm. He's the one that works with them, but they think he's lovely. And but he gets me, you know, I'm the owner of the business, so I have to do the dirty work. I have to tell them the realities. So they think he's Saint Jesus walking on water, but he hates them. He's constantly complained about. It's really strange, isn't it, Robert?
It is. There's nothing more befuddling than a human being. But, John, before we lose track of it, I will sign whatever you want me to sign. I'm not interested in copying anything from you. I'm interested in evaluating any long-term potential that might exist in a tool, especially if at some point you do fold up shop. I will be transparent about what my motivation is. If you decide at some point to fold up the shop and I happen to be doing better than what I'm doing right now, maybe I buy it on the cheap. Who knows? I'm a transparent dude. Love me or hate me, I am usually going to tell you what direction I'm coming
to. Totally understandable, Rob. There's nothing wrong with that. No, there isn't. I would like to, yeah. So, yeah, sure.
You just think about whether or not you even want to mess with that. In the meantime, though, if there's some cross purposes with the IDX stuff, happy to help. And I sent you the prices for the other things that you asked about. I sent you the name to my guy. There's nothing.
That's really appreciative, Rob, because I haven't got the bandwidth. And like you say, the main problem with a lot of these real estate agents is what you've just said. They've got Gucci tastes and they've got a Walmart budget.
Right.
And I'm doing better with WP Tonic. I've managed to get some really good, a lot of them. I've got a good spread of a lot of small. And I've got about 3 or 4 large clients. I'm looking to get some medium ones,
mm-hmm.
but I've got a nice spread. Yeah, you know, but yeah, it's amazing human beings. What, you know, just mind, you want to get a gun and shoot. I was talking to the owner of Lifter LMS and he's got about 20 people working for him, native and offshore. And he's got he's a nice guy, Chris, and he gave me a lifetime license for Lifter LMS Infinity.
Okay.
And I do promote him a lot through my podcasting and video. And he said he's a really nice guy. He's no idiot, but he comes across really nicely. And he said, I get tons of abuse for my clientele. I get it constantly. And they give a lot to their plug-in buyers. And he said, oh, yeah, we get abuse all the time from a minority.
Blissfully, John, it is a huge price I pay to get this result, but I don't get a lot of abuse. But that's because I spend, and this is going to blow your mind because it's a real number. I spend about 3 hours with every person that calls me about IREM, 3 hours. By the time I'm done with the call, I have a pretty good read on what kind of person they are. And we get difficult clients. We do. We've got a really difficult one working its way through the system right now. But the thing about the difficult ones in my space, if they're that difficult, boy, oh boy, have I quoted them something to accommodate the difficulty. And I have definitely done that with the person walking through the system right now. I think we're $40,000 in with the real estate agent basically. Now, they are incredibly, insanely hard to deal with. Like, I've had to open up a Slack channel to my main developer because they just, it's hard to explain, but they're incessant with their requests. And their expectations are insanely high. They've never dealt with developers. They have no understanding that you don't get developer type resources just on fucking speed dial answering all your questions. Wow. But blissfully, I have charged them up with the wazoo to get that kind of service. And they are floating, like, they're like 5% of my revenue right now. So,
yeah, in total, it's around 40 grand for this woman I'm talking about. I think she's got a personality disorder. Yeah, honestly, she is semi-paranoid all the time. And she is a handful. And she's a gaslighter, supremo. You know, you have a conversation with her and you think you're losing your mind.
It is an insane thing to me, John. And it's taught me a lot about business to know that there is a fair amount of those people out there that make a fair amount of money, but they don't do it nicely or well. They just do it. And like, I have learned in the hardest way possible. It's like, well, I wish there was a world in which you could be a total and utter shitheel and not make money. Like, I just wish that wasn't possible. But like the squeaky wheel, the complainers, the loud people, the fucking people that get in your face, nice people have a tendency to go, Jesus Christ, you're a lot. Just, I'm going to give you whatever you want. Go away. Like, it is nutty to me how many personality disorder people you see that make a lot of money. And you know where you see it the most in the real estate space? It's absolutely in the luxury space. No doubt about it. Like Jake Mills and Joyce Ray, they're nice ladies. They both have personality disorders though. I mean, Jade Mills has been begged by her family, her kids, her husband, everybody to retire, and she won't do it. She is obsessed with work, which is great for her clients and fucking shitty for every other human in her life. She can't drop the small details, though, like at all. I mean,
this woman, she is a control freak supremo as well. And also. But it is what it is, isn't it, Rob? We just move forward, don't we?
We do.
All right. I'll see you later.
Bye. Later, buddy. Ciao.